Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in us. We pray that we would enjoy more than ever. That the places you want to take us in the Spirit, we would not just walk there, we would soar to get there. We bless you, Lord. You're the one that's able to accomplish it in us as we offer ourselves to you. We offer ourselves to you and initiate the conversation with you that will take us to places where we can soar to them. We bless your name. We honor you, God. We offer ourselves and initiate in Jesus' name. Yes, Lord. Well, I'm hoping this will be brief. I'll say it at the beginning, and then when I start seeing people go, this was brief, then I'll know I'm over my time. I was thinking as we were approaching the 100 hours of prayer that we can approach it in a couple of different ways, so I just want to illustrate that quickly this morning. I'm trying to say quickly and fast and brief as much as possible to speak it into myself. Over the weekend, I guess Friday night through yesterday afternoon, we met with our leadership board and the wives and the whole crew and we spouses. Is that better? That's true. Sorry. I didn't think of that. Spouses, more accurately. Good, yeah. And we kind of reminisced on Friday night when we got together around a table, started talking about the mission trips we'd been on and the various things we've done together, and so many stories, so much laughter about all the various places we've been and the things that we've done together and with many of you. So that was kind of fun to do that, but in the midst of that, we talked a lot about Over the 2 days, we talked a lot about what God had spoken in the front line early on. You know, before there was a time before Toronto, before we as a ministry went to Toronto, there was a time in this ministry before we knew about Patricia King and before we knew about Bethel and the teachings that come out of Bethel. There was a time before all those connections, and yet Father God was revealing things to us about honor, about covenant, about what it's like to be an armor bearer. Long before we had that input, and that input from those ministries has enhanced us greatly. But it has not been something that we need to rely on, that we have to have it. Because God is so good, He started that process before those inputs came in. So we welcome all of that revelation. We embrace the revelation that we've gotten from those various. But we actually embrace Holy Spirit's revelation above anything that can be shared by any ministry or any person. Because He was so faithful to teach us many of the things that are coming to light and being expanded in these days throughout the earth. I think that's awesome. I think it's a cool thing. Because as I was thinking back to those early years and some of the trips that we were taking and so on, we didn't take trips with a list of rules. We actually believe the Holy Spirit would bring unity to the people and a heart and a passion and a compassion to the people. And we were speaking out Father's love, not just about the gospel, but His love in the midst of that, connected with that, as part of that, the fullest gospel. It kept developing into the fullest gospel possible and is still developing. That way. We're going to continue to learn, aren't we? Yes, we have so much to learn. And we need all the revelation that we can get from the various streams to enhance that, to expand that in every way. And I love that. I love that we were learning in the early years and now we're still learning. We're still learning. We're still growing. We're still receiving. And it was, for some reason, it came to me during the weekend while we were with the leaders that years ago when I was, I determined it was about 10 or 11. I thought it was 8, but it was about when I was 10 or 11. I sang in a talent show up in northern Michigan at another town. They invited me to come sing for this talent show. There were no prizes. It was just a display of talent. It was called Venetian Festival, and they had these boats that they decorated, and they meandered out in the water at night. But before that, they had a talent show that they presented to the community, and they invited me to come about 15 miles away to be part of this because they heard I sang, and I was, you know, 10 or 11 years old. And had a big mouth, I mean a big voice. And so they thought, this would be great, you know, some little kid just booming out there with a great big voice. And so I get to the picnic that they had before this talent show, and in comes the governor of Michigan to this picnic. Now I'm 10, 11 years old, I'm sitting on a lawn chair, and in comes the governor of Michigan. Well, his name was George Romney. He's Mitt Romney's dad, or was Mitt Romney's dad. And he came into the picnic, and I'm sitting on the lawn chair, 10 or 11. He walks by, he shakes my hand, I shake his hand like, you know, cool, glad you're here. Never got up, never, you know, shook his hand, oh, you know, Mr. Governor, you know, so nice to meet you. Nothing like that. It was like, hey, you're probably happy to meet me. I'm singing at the talent show. So as I got to the stage of the talent show, the organizers came up and they said, could you change your song? We know what you're going to sing. Could you change your song a little bit? I'm 10 or 11 years old. These are adults. These are adults. I said, sure. What do you want me to change? They said, well, you know, we know you're going to sing Hello Dolly. Could you sing Hello Georgie? To the governor of Michigan. When he comes in, and this was kind of up on a hill and overlooking this bay where all these boats were waiting to show their lights and everything, and he's going to walk in as, you know, it strikes up Hello Dolly and I'm supposed to sing Hello Georgie. So I was looking at the words to that song. It'd been a long time since I'd looked at the words. So it was something like, well, hello Georgie, well, hello, Georgie. It's so nice to have you back where you belong. You're looking swell, Georgie. I can tell, Georgie. You're still glowing, you're still crowing, you're still going. And back in those days, going strong. I feel the room swaying. While the band's playing one of your old favorite songs from way back when. So this is the part I don't understand how I could have sung it with a straight face. Take his rap, fellas. Find him an empty lap, fellas. Georgia will never go away again. I wish I could have seen the look on his face when he was, you know, invited to somebody's lap. But anyway. So I was thinking of that song. And when he came into that picnic, I was just acting like a child. I'm valuable. You're valuable. I'm a person. You're a person. Shook his hand while I'm sitting in the lawn chair. And he's all dressed up as the governor of Michigan. Didn't think anything of it. I didn't think, you know, that's very disrespectful not to stand up and shake his hand and give him his due glory. But, you know, if he's my governor and my parents voted or the people voted him in, he's actually kind of, you know, someone that's related to me. That was my 10 or 11-year-old thinking. But I was thinking like a child. I was valuable. Authority, but I was valuable. Then when they asked me to sing for him, I thought, wow, I'm changing my song to sing for this guy. And I've just met him, but I'm changing my song to sing for him. That's pretty good of me to do that, because I might mess up, and then all the focus would be on me. He can't mess up. All he has to do is walk in. So as a child, we have different thinking, don't we? We do. Sometimes we need to act like a child instead of like an adult. While we were getting ready to go to the leadership time, I was in my car, the nicest car I've ever had, and I was in a rush, and I, you know, was loading things in the car, real quick, and put some shirts in the side door, kind of in a rush, jumped in to back the car out. And we heard a I knew I was going to get this reaction. This is so cool. And so I stopped real quick. I jumped out, and I started acting like an adult. Now, some people think that's acting like a child, but I'll explain in a minute. That's acting like an adult. I jumped out, I left the hatch up, and tried to back out of my garage. And so I see this nice part of the back part of the car flopping a little bit as I shut the hatch. And there's this piece flopping back there, piece where the backup light is, and in my thought, and the backup camera, and the, you know, as an adult, I'm thinking through all this, going, oh, how could I be so stupid? I know you've never done that. And so I got out, tried to compose myself, because I'm like, this means I got to take it into a shop. I've got to get it. And we're on the way somewhere. It's going to flop all the way to Akron. And that could make it break off. And the whole thing, as an adult, thinking like an adult, this is going to cost me bucks to get this fixed. I wonder how much insurance is going to take care of it. Probably not a lot, because we have those deductibles. But thinking like an adult. So, composed myself. Pastor Mary Pat prayed for me. Outside the car, as I'm looking at this thing, tried to get a little composure. Walked up to the and inspected it, you know, lifted it up. That's not good. I don't know if you know that. To lift up a piece that's not supposed to be lifting up. Lifted it up, see how it was put together. Still thinking like an adult. Maybe there's something I can do here. And it suddenly came to me, a revelation. If I was a child, now I didn't think of all this right then, but I'm inserting it into the story from what I heard later, but he helped me at that moment, even with just a little bit of revelation. If I was a child, I'd say, Father, Daddy, fix it. Right? Isn't that what your child would do? Isn't what a child would do? Not, hey, I got to take this responsibility on myself. A child would say, Daddy, fix it. I broke it. Daddy, you fix it. You know everything. You fix it, Daddy. And every daddy in America goes, oh my golly, I don't know how to do this. Good thing there's Google. Good thing there is, what's the one? Oh. Duct tape. I did think of duct tape. Thought that's going to look weird. So anyway, there was kind of a quick cry out to my daddy, and he said, this is how it works. If you put pressure down on it, it'll spread it out just enough and it'll hook on that little thing you see under there and it'll be okay. Now, I thought it was my thought at that moment that I came up with that. Later on, I realized it was his thought. As I went through the day and I'm sorting all this out, I realized he gave me that idea because we were late for the meeting. And he wanted us to get there. He didn't want me to spend all day trying to get a thing to stop flopping and look around for the duct tape, which is usually hard to find. And look stupid when I get there. You know, duct tape all over the back of my car. So, he says, you know, just push down on it. It will push out and it will hook on there and it should be okay. So I did. I pushed and Pastor Mary Pat's going, are you sure you're doing the right thing? You know, I mean, I'm like putting my weight on it. I wish you could have seen this. But actually, I'm showing you now. Put my weight on it, and it spreaded it out just enough that it hooked. Spreaded. Spread. You know, out just enough. That's from my childhood also. Spreaded. My father called film, you know, film you use in a camera, film, so you can see where it came from. Anyway, pushed on this part, it spread out and hooked. And I went, hey, it's not rattling anymore. It's not rattling anymore. And as I ran my hand later over the part that was skimmed just a little, it didn't even break through the paint. Wow. I mean, it showed a little bit of streaks, but I just think that's kind of like I'm going real fast. So they have those in the cartoons, so I thought, that fits right in. But it didn't break through the paint. And Daddy fixed it. I thought I fixed it at that moment, but actually, later on, as we talked about it together in the ongoing conversation that I have with Holy Spirit, he revealed to me that that wasn't your idea. You're not that smart. That's what I wanted. You need YouTube videos to fix things like that. And so, an adult, see, thinks of the responsibility, puts it on their shoulders, takes all the weight. A child goes, Daddy, fix it. Or, Father, fix it, depending on their age. But we cry out and just say, fix it. They know, the child knows that the father cares about something that's broke, something that needs helped, that the father has compassion for it. A good father, a really good father. I also thought about when I was a child, since I was on this whole child thing, singing for George, and I used to love being rocked. In fact, after I was too old, and I know some of you don't think I got too long to be rocked, But I was too big to be rocked at some point. I hearken back to those times that my mom, who was from the South, and she would sing to me while she rocked me. She would, you know, bless me with whispering over me. I could just faintly remember a lot of that. And it was such a warming thing to me between my mom and myself. I remember asking when I was too old to be rocked if she would rock me. And she did for a while. I mean, you know, here and there. It wasn't like I ask every day. Just, you know, would come to me and say, oh, you know, it would be one of those moments. And she would pick me, you know, pick me up and rock me for a couple seconds, you know. Okay, you got your fix, you know, and throw me out. Well, I wondered where she got that, you know, even caring to do that. She didn't say, you're too old to be rocked. You're too big to be rocked. She didn't say that. Now, she eventually, the weight and so on, she, you know, eventually found a way to avoid it. But she never told me directly, you're too big to be rocked, you're too old to be rocked. And I think that's why I thought of that, you know, back to that. Those times when we were close and she rocked. I thought it was kind of awesome. Well, where did she get that? She got that from my grandma. From Tennessee. She was the same way. She had one of my cousins, and he lived with us for a while, and she lived with us for a while. And he was a big, you know, tall, womping thing. And even as a little child, he was a big child. And she would just grab him, come here, Ronnie! Come here! She'd rock him. She was like a 98 pounds, you know. She got this kid rocking him, you know. And Ronnie, you know, eventually would succumb, you know, no matter how old he got. And he would fall asleep. And I thought, my mom got that from Essie Mae. Got that from Essie Mae McMillan, her mother. My mom's name was Estelle. And that was Essie Mae. They were from Tennessee, I told you. So I got to thinking about that. Never too old to be rocked, never too big to be rocked. And Jesus says, you must be like a child to be in the kingdom. So immediately what came to my spirit was this. When we come to Jesus, we come to him as Savior and Lord. And we embrace that. There was back in the 70s, yes, I was a Christian in the 70s. There was an illustration that showed self on the throne. Obviously, that's not a good thing. Self, it was an S. That's what we did when we wrote out the illustration. S is on the throne. Self is on the throne. But that's not a good thing. So when you receive Jesus, they said back then, you have a choice. You can receive Jesus and keep self on the throne. So they put a cross and an S. That's not a good thing. Because there's a mixture. You receive Jesus, but you try to run things yourself. And then, of course, the last part of the illustration is, oh no, we just put the cross on the throne, and we see him as Savior and Lord, and self is outside the throne. Well, that's a pretty cool illustration. And it has a lot of applications for our life, doesn't it? But the thing that they didn't tell us is there's also a rocky left it out of the illustration. They didn't have the revelation. But I'm telling you today, we have this revelation that we can embrace this and love this, that Jesus should be on the throne. He should be Lord. He should be the one that has all majesty. But in the Bible, this is taken for granted. Of course you're going to see him as Lord. One of the reasons you're here is because we name him as Lord. We spend more time singing, embracing him as Father than we do talking here about him as being Lord, because We take it for granted if you're here, you're either seeking him as Lord or you name him as Lord. So this is the beginning. Some people make it the end. They spend their whole life trying to make Jesus Lord. And I mean the word trying. They try to make him Lord. Man, I screwed up again. Didn't make him Lord. Oops, self got back on the throne. What do I do now? There's a mix. Got the cross in me. Oh, bleh. And people get discouraged. They leave the faith. They chuck it. Because they don't take this as, yeah, it's rock solid in my life. He is Lord, whether I screw up or I don't. And then move to the rocking chair, where this is where the intimacy is. Abba. Abba. Where he says, you're never too old to be rocked. You're never too big to be a child. Abba. Abba. Closer intimacy. 100 hours of Abba. 100 hours of duty. 100 hours of intimacy. Oh, I gotta do it. Or something that's spiritual. I'm over here and I don't give a rip whether they think I'm spiritual. I'm too drunk to care what anybody else thinks. He's rocking me and socking me. Oh, oh. Woo. So what if I just embrace the throne? Oh, it's good. Fear the Lord. Respect. It's getting up and shaking George Romney's hand, Governor Romney's hand, and saying, Governor, glad you're at the... Do you know that Romans 1 says that's in the heart of every person? They're actually fighting against it if they don't receive it. If they don't believe Jesus is Lord, they're fighting against the very nature that God has put inside of them. And everything that was created, Romans 1, it's obvious he's the creator. So they're fighting the inside of themselves. They have a war within themselves. Now, most Christians think, no, the war is in us. No, the victory's in us. He defeated the flesh. I don't know if you knew that. But he has already. So they're bothered, you know, there's a war, the flesh, the spirit, I don't know. Well, where am I really? Oh. They're worried about that. And the war has already been won. Spirit's willing, flesh is weak. But spirit's willing! So the war is in the unbeliever. That says, no, it all happened by evolution and processes that were natural. That's fighting against the very revelation that the Father gave to us to just see. Oh, it's obvious. There's God. Obviously, he created that. Obviously, he created me. If he created me, I'm valuable. If he thinks I'm valuable, then I should be in a rocking chair with him. See, it all works together. And that he's Lord, that is true. Embrace it, yes, but don't stay there. Move on to the rocking chair where Abba is waiting for you. Luke 15 was read this morning. You don't see the Father at the house looking for the Son. You don't see him dragging his throne out there to meet the Son. Come on, son. Here we are. I'm the king. Now you're... Because the king is here in the middle of the road on his throne. It was a given. It was a given that he was the king and lord of all. And he was thinking that way. The son was like, I messed up. Because I've got to come up with a speech now and I should live out with the slaves because I was a son and I screwed up. And the father goes out there and goes, oh, come on to the rocking chair. Let's party. Woo-hoo-hoo! And the son's going, no, I deserve to come over here and go, oh my golly, I've really screwed up. And he's like, no, come over to the rocking chair. You're a son, you're a daughter. Come on. Calm down. Go sleepy. Woo! Oh, we were going to party. Never mind, let's party. That's what he's wanting for us. And so many times we put our nose in front of the throne. He knows. Inside of our hearts, we believe he is Lord. That's why we show up at stuff like this. Who shows up for 100 hours of prayer if Jesus isn't Lord? But you're supposed to enjoy it. That's my point this morning. This is where the enjoyment is. Intimacy. Enjoying these 100 hours. Whether you're here at the stations, you're in your car, whatever. Because he's calling us to that kind of closeness during this time. It's not supposed to be a marathon. I can't wait to get to the end of the 100 hours. I'm going to make it. I'm going to pray a little bit more than I did. Okay. It's a marathon, 100 hours. It's supposed to be like, what? 100 hours? These people are kind of cutting it down, aren't they? It used to be a week of prayer, now it's 100 hours. What's going on around here? You're free. Make it as long as you want. Make it as long as you want.
Is that at your house?
At my house. Come on over. I knew that was coming. I was ready. I came over to this side of the room. Okay, throne versus the rocking chair. Now remember, this is a good thing. You have to start here. Throne. Jesus is King and Lord. Good thing. What is he over here? Father. Abba. We can move into that. Is the point. Over here, we can kind of get into the mode and thinking, I'm a servant, I'm a slave, I need to serve, I need to perform, I need to make sure I'm on my P's and Q's, need to obey, that's the emphasis, obey the king, obey. Nothing wrong with that. Not a thing wrong with that. But I think you should enjoy your obeying. It's a whale of a lot better to be in joy over here with the Father, realizing he completely values you. He completely thinks you are it. You are the coolest. You are the pearl of great price. And you're ready to be rocked by him. Then you actually can enjoy 100 hours of prayer. Rather than, oh, man, why do they set the bar so high? Well, I can't get to that. And I just know they're going to add fasting to it, uh-huh. You can get into performance. Yeah, I'm going to do more fasting than I did last time, because last time I kind of stunk at it, actually. You could be, you know, insecure. And I don't know. I mean, that's the whole debate right over here in this area. Once saved, always saved. Oh, no! You can lose it. You can lose it. You know, when you're over here, there's no discussion like that. Oh, my daddy loves me. My daddy loves me. Worship you easily because you love me. You're not thinking, I wonder if I'm once saved, always saved, or whether I lost it. You're not even thinking about that over here. Doesn't even cross your mind. And it's a raging debate in the church when they only go this far. It's true. It's raging debate, and it will continue to be that way. The Calvinists versus the Arminians! Woo! You know what? Chuck them both. Come over here. Ha! No Calvins have to worry about. No Arminians. Just Father, Abba. And enjoy, let him value you, and you will value him more. That's the thing. It's not just all for us. You'll value him more. Because you'll be free. Free people are able to value others. When you're all locked up, it's hard to value somebody else. I don't want to talk to those people. I haven't done very well this week. I really screwed up, and I know I didn't please the Lord, so I'm not going to talk to anybody else about Jesus. What testimony could I give them? And then you see happy people. Oh, boy, my gosh. How could they have so much joy? I bet they screwed up, too. They're just faking it. They're faking it. They're faking it. They're faking it. Because I feel all bound up. They must be bound up also. But when everybody's over here, everybody's happy. And nobody cares how happy you get. You can be swimming around on the floor like a fish, and everybody goes, I'm going to get some of that. And see, much of the church goes, that's out of control. Excuse me. Tongues of fire falling on people's heads in a room of prayer. That's out of control. It spills out into the street. Acts 1 and 2. Spills out into the street. Someone preaches. They all say, they're drunk. 3,000 of them say, I want to be drunk too. Come on. Where does this start? Okay, I'm going to the throne. Yes, Jesus, your Lord. Woo-hoo! We're drunk too. Drunk with God. Oh, new wine, old wine, new wine. Okay, you can think I'm nuts. I don't care. I'm telling you that's where it's at. I'm telling you. And I feel grieved that more people don't go to the rocking chair. I'm not judgmental and say, well, they're just religious. Because I think back, a ways back, that was me. Why would I start putting my nose up in it? They're just me. I was sold on this. Jesus says, Lord, that's what I preach. That's what I told people. I have Bible studies at my house. We need to make Jesus more Lord this week than he was last week. Guess what? He's Lord all the time. We're the ones that are supposed to be changing. And if we could just enjoy it, we'd change faster. I said, if we can just enjoy it, we'll change faster. If you're going to get all, you know, put the spectacles on and put them down about here and get sour, you're not going to change that much. Go ahead, make a couple mistakes. See if he doesn't still love you. I think I spit on myself. Thank you. Okay, this has gone way too long. Let me just... Throne. It could go into a search for significance, insecurity, performance issues. You are wondering over here. Is Jesus Lord? Is he not Lord? I don't know. Over there, he's not even talking about that. The Father, when he ran out to greet the Son, didn't talk about that. How he screwed up. He talked about how much he was loved. Let's have a party. You're back. You're so valuable. Glad you're back with the fam. Missed ya. I don't know how many people... I see them out at Walmart. They come up and they go, I'm going to be back at church. I go, it's very nice to see you. How's your life going? It's not whether you get back to church. It's whether you're in the rocking chair, enjoying your relationship with the Father. How are you doing? I promise I'll be back in church. How are you? I know you want me as a congregant. I don't even know what a congregant is. This can become separation from God because we want to make him so holy he can't be close to us. And it almost feels good. If you're so holy, that means, and I make you holier and holier, that makes me grubbier and grubbier. That's humility. No, it's not. Humility is taking what he's given us, going over to the rocking chair, and letting him slather kisses all over us. Closeness, intimacy. Whoo! That's humility. Not sitting over here with our nose on the floor before this throne. Should we have that attitude of you are King and Lord? Of course. That fear of God inside of us? Of course. But if you don't turn it into, I'm going to show you just how much I'm giving myself to you. I'm throwing myself into your arms. I'm going to show you how much I trust you, God. I'm going to throw myself backwards into your arms. That pleases him much more than our nose on the ground. Because that's real trust. People that name Jesus as Lord, so often they have trust issues with God. Why is that? Because they've never felt the value that he gives in the rocking chair. If they felt valued, they'd trust him. They don't feel valued. They've been working at not feeling valued. I'm not going to ask God one more thing because I've asked him so many things and he's answered so many things. What? Are you nuts? Ask and you shall receive that your joy may be full. Ask that you may receive that your joy may be full. He wants you to keep asking, asking, asking. No, ask. Just no, go ahead, ask. Ask me. And not just for needs. Ask me for desires. How many children ask for ice cream? How many children get ice cream? Many. Many. A little persistence in that realm goes a long ways. Do you know why? Because the parents start thinking, ice cream. No, we can't have ice cream right now because it's before dinner. Then the ice cream thing gets going in the parents' head. Ice cream. Boy, I haven't had ice cream in a while. Some ice cream right now on the tongue would be just awesome. Woo! Ice cream! Okay, let's go to the rocking chair. You can have ice cream because I'm a good parent. I'm such a good parent to you. The parent wants ice cream suddenly, and the child gets ice cream. Let me tell you something. Father has all the ice cream that he wants, and he's willing to give it away. He's not as stingy as we are as parents. We might be intimidated. We might think only sovereignty. Only when God moves will I move. I had that. I believed that for a long time. And people said, you're like the Rock of Gibraltar. Unless God moves you, you won't move. And I took that as a badge. I thought, well, you can't make many mistakes that way. You trust God? Know that he's Lord? He's sovereign. If he's sovereign, then I don't move unless he moves. Rock of Gibraltar. Hey, I like that. Instead, we're not supposed to be a Rock of Gibraltar. We're supposed to be moving. Like a semi-truck. It's not much use parked. Can't carry much, parked, but you can carry a whole lot when you're moving forward. Oh, you'll have to wait on God from time to time? Sure. But I think there's a little bit of emphasis on that wait over here because of the sovereignty thing. You wait a lot when you believe in sovereignty only. Now, God does move sovereignly. He does. But he wants us to be moving. Moving towards people, towards him. Ever notice rocking has motion? Thrones don't. Rocking has motion. He wants you to be in motion. Okay, what about the rocking chair? You're close. You're free. You have intimacy, deeper relationship. You're a son or daughter, not a slave or a servant only. You are able to address him in a very close, intimate way. Abba. You're a friend. That's a tough one for people. How can I be a friend of God? Because he said so. And he can make it happen. It's privilege rather than duty. Rather than austere and stiff, it's close and free. You trust, your trust grows, your gratitude grows, your knowing grows. Rather than wondering, you're knowing. That's why John could say that he knew him. That's why Jesus says, I know my sheep. And my sheep know me. They hear my voice when I speak. You're going to hear a lot more of God's voice when you're over here. Over here, you're always going to be thinking, it wasn't him. He wouldn't speak to me. I'm not a big enough fish in the pond. He only speaks to, like, Billy Graham. Over here, you're like, he speaks to every child of his. He's speaking right into their ears intimately. Three people in the disciples really got it. And they were right there all the time, right in his face. They were all right there all the time, right around him. Three people. They were right there. And John, because back in those days they kind of laid on couches to eat, he just went up and put his head right on Jesus' heart. And he went around saying, I'm the beloved. John said it about himself. We go, what kind of guy is he? Is he? Oh, my gosh, it going right to his head. You betcha it did. It went past his head to his spirit. He could say he was the beloved because it was true. He had gotten close to the heart of Jesus. And he was forever changed. John the Revelator. Bingo, get the connection. Head on heart. You get revelation that changes the world. Book of Revelation. Yeah. I'm actually done 20 minutes ago. One last thing. We used to pride ourselves back in the day about being built on the rock. We don't want to be on the sand. We are built on the rock. Well, I think with this approach where it's just God is holy, God is awesome, God is the king, I'm dirt and all that, you're kind of on the edge of the rock because so many people slip off and fall into the sand with thinking in the sand. They're kind of on the edge of the rock all the time, ready to fall off into the sand, and they build their life on junk because they just think, I can't do this. It's too hard. How many people have you heard say to you, I can't do this Christian life thing. I tried it. They were on the edge of the rock, built on the rock that Jesus is, but they fall in the sand because they didn't feel any relationship. You know, come to Jesus, it's about relationship. Those other religions, it's about religion. Man trying to reach God, but in Christianity, God reaches down to man and gives him relationship. With Jesus, it's about relationship, relationship. Really? How many Christians are saying, I can't hear God? I don't know Him. What am I supposed to do? I read the Bible, I don't understand it. They're on the edge of the rock. You have to get over here to get the revelation, to get the closeness, to hear His voice, to enjoy this thing. Of course. Of course. And He's been calling us all to that. Why do you think Jesus went around saying, I only do what my Father says to do. I'm only here because the Father sent me. Father, 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 woo, Father, 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 I, Father, Father, Father. What's He trying to say to us? Relate to Him as a father. We've heard that here. But I know some of you aren't doing it. Grieves me. I'm not doing it as well as I want to. Grieves me. I want to be more in the rocking chair than over here. Doctrine. Fun. How many times does He have to say joy for us to say it's possible? It's, in fact, supposed to be a mark of our life because of Holy Spirit inside of us. Why aren't we enjoying it? We're here, which is good. This brings the joy. Silly joy. Goofy joy. Dancing joy. The kind of joy that David had and his wife said, shut up. Stop. Overboard. Out of control. And he's going, clothes are optional. Okay, now, let's get one thing straight. Clothes are not optional here. But when you're alone and, you know. Okay. Treasured, valued, secure. This is the last one. Prayer. One direction of communication. Do you know what they say when they only go this far? I'll tell you. I was in this camp. I know. I know very well. We pray to God, and He speaks to us through His Word. We pray to God, and He speaks to us through His Word. This is true. But it's not the end of the story. Over here, it's an ongoing conversation. He speaks to us from the Bible. We get more and more and more. He speaks to us through dreams, visions, pictures, confessions, impressions. That too.
Other people.
I missed it. A whole host of things. Joel 2, Acts 2. Bunch of them listed there. And we're receiving that in this body, but I just want you to get the picture of what's going on. He doesn't have just one narrow way of communicating with us. And my sheep will hear my voice. Well, you don't have to hear my voice. Read it. And so people pound the pulpit. Pastors pound the pulpit every week. Get into this word. It's a good thing. Except that they forget. Why aren't they saying, open yourself up to visions and dreams? Oh no, don't do that. That's over there on the edge. Okay, then why are you looking up to Daniel? Joseph, Peter, all of them had visions that were transforming for the people that they had influence on in the spirit. They don't want to talk about that. I'm not criticizing as much as I'm grieving over that. This is where the good stuff is. Put yourself on your father's lap and just try not to think of anything doctrinally for a while. Just think of, I'm embraced in his love. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I don't even feel like I deserve to say that, Lord, but I'm saying it out of faith. Hey, I'm kind of enjoying saying it and singing it. I love you, Lord. I love. And then we hear back, I love you, Bill. I love you, Bill. Billy, William, Guillermo. Resolute protector. Ooh. Now, if you have a hard time getting there, say, well, God, I don't know what that looks like at home. Okay, I can kind of get it here, and there's the stations and stuff, and there's places for me to lay out on this orange carpet that won't be here long. I get it when I'm here, but when I'm at home, I don't know what do you do? Just find some chair that moves. Okay? And just do it prophetically and see what happens. Just see what happens. Don't even think to yourself, I'm going to do this for a half. Don't even, nothing. Don't, just clear your schedule and just kind of throw yourself into some chair that moves and just tell Father you love him. And let's just see what happens. Let's just see what happens. And if you don't sing, sing. If you do sing, sing. Just sing. Sing to the Father, whatever comes to your spirit. Do something you haven't done before. You need healed. You need delivered. I need healed. I need delivered more. But I'm telling you, it's the way to enjoy this 100 hours. And I took up quite a bit of time in that 100 hours. I really thought I could do this quicker. Father, we are blessed that you are our Father, Abba Father, and you've already forgiven me for going too long. But I had 100 hours to work with, and I'm not even on the midway of that yet, Lord. Thank you. Father, we give you praise. We honor you. We can make mistakes, but if our heart is tuned into you and passionate for you, you've already taken care of that. Forgiven us because of Jesus. That's what the throne is all about. Forgiveness. You've been forgiven in front of the court. Yes, we revere you as God, holy. Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and is to come. We do. We revere you for that. But we can't just stay there. We also have to draw into you as Abba Father during this time and beyond, Lord. So we do both. We don't quit honoring you as holy, holy, holy. We just add to the fact that we're holy because of you. And we can rejoice and celebrate and get drunk in that, Lord, in your presence. Have some new wine and actually drink it rather than let it sit on the shelf and say, that's the new wine. Some people are drinking it. Help us to drink it, Lord. Help us to drink it, Lord. We give you the praise. We honor you in Jesus' name. You alone, you alone, you alone are worthy of us throwing ourselves into your arms. Nowhere else do I want to throw myself. I don't trust anything else. I don't trust anything else. I don't want to throw myself into the arms of a whatever picture I have of church, I want to throw myself into your arms. And then I'll appreciate the church. I'll appreciate every person. I'll value like you value because I'm in your arms. I will begin to, in the Spirit, speak out such life that people will be rocked in the Spirit. And they will come into intimacy with you because I've been there. Because I know you. Because I've experienced you. And now I can splash you on others and they'll go to the same place of intimacy with you and beyond. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Abba. 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 Abba, Father. Bless your name. Bless your name. Speak to each of us this week and beyond, Lord. Help this be the springboard to take us in a whole new relationship with you. Deeper, wider. Yes, Lord. Higher. Yes, Lord. More enjoyable. Yes, Father. Yes, Father. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, Lord.